Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 16. In chapter 12, the Lord has told his disciples he's going away, that he's going to be rejected of men and crucified. They were devastated. Wouldn't you have been? 3 years you've been with him. You've heard him. You've walked with him. You've spent nights with him. You've seen miracle after miracle after miracle. You've heard the teaching of the truth. You know that he is the Son of the living God. You know that he has the words of life. And he says, I'm going away. Oh, the sorrow. Oh, the trouble. So from chapter 13 through chapter 17, he comforts his disciples. He comforts his sheep. One of the greatest comforts he gave them was the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. The greatest comfort comes from chapter 17. Our high priest intercedes and prays for us. But let's read chapter 16, and we're going to read about that great Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Our Lord says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me. And none of you asketh, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because you believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again a little while, ye shall see me, because I go to my go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, What is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall not see me. Again in a little while, ye shall see me, because I go to my Father. They said, therefore, what is this that he saith? A little while. We cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, Do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for the joy that a man has borne in the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hither 2, have you asked nothing in my name? Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I will show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world. Again I leave the world, and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, thou speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now we are sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his home, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
Bibles this evening, if you will, to Genesis 29. And let me mention a couple of things that some of you here know Tom Wooten. Him and Gene Rutledge used to come down here every year. Well, the Lord called Gene home a few years ago, and he called Tom home this morning. Tom's a big old tall fella. We went to Todd's for years and years and years, and I've enjoyed his fellowship for years, and so has Joe, and so has Shirley. And then Denny Ayers' mother passed away, and they left to go up to her funeral. And then Kathleen told me this morning her son, mother-in-law, Gertrude, I think's her name. Is it? No, Glee? Who? Glee Beatty, yeah. She worked out Tansy at the POA, yeah. She had a massive heart attack, Tuesday. She was over there eating with them last Sunday, and she had a massive heart attack. And so three deaths this week, and all of them will be missed. I told you before, every time I listen to obituary, and every time I see it, hearse on its way to a funeral with the flags on it, I automatically think somebody is hurting and somebody's going to miss that soul. I always think of that. And we live in a place where people respect that and pull over to the side of the road. Men take their hats off, show respect, and that's a wonderful thing that we do those things. But, oh my, he's not in the world where there's tribulation anymore. Tom ain't. That's the one I know for sure. All right, tonight I want to talk about Jacob's sons. He had 12 sons. And, you know, we saw last week he was on his way to Padanaram, down to his mother's brother's house, his uncle, because his brother had said he's going to kill him. And, so he was there, and he stopped at the place and saw this ladder, had this vision, saw this ladder, typical of our Lord Jesus Christ in his humanity, that reached all the way to heaven and all the way to earth. When God's up there, man's down here. God come from there down to here in the person of Christ. And he gave him a great blessing. And God blesses us only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, he got down there. Now you remember that Jacob's nature is a black background for the glorious grace of God. They struggled in the womb, typical of our struggle in the flesh. He grabbed a hold of the heel of his brother. He wanted out. And then he bought the birthright. He bargained for the birthright and got the birthright from Esau. And then him and his mother devised a scheme whereby he could actually get the blessing of the firstborn from his father. And then after God promised to bless him at Bethel, and he called that the gate of heaven, and Bethel is the house of God, after God gave him all these blessings, he started to turn around, started bargaining with God. You all remember those things. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Now Laban, since Jacob was such a deceiver, such a supplanter, such a schemer, that he met a man that was slicker than he was. He met a man named Laban. And Laban, his father-in-law, really got him, put him between a rock and a hard place. And what it was, thus, Jacob said, stay with me a month, and now, since you get here, what will you do for wages? I don't want you to just stay here. You're going to have to work for your living. Now, what wages will you charge me if you stay here? He said, well, I tell you what I'll do. I'll serve you for 7 years for your daughter Rachel. She is beautiful. She is well favored. Old Laban said, that'll work. I'll do that. He labored 7 years. He gave him his daughter Leah. She had eye problems. He went in unto her, didn't see her, went into the tent to her and came out. And he says, well, the first thing he said, Jacob said, Laban, was you deceived me? He said, it's not right. It's not right to give the youngest daughter first. Said, so he gave her Leah. And then he said, seven more years for Rachel. And all these women, he had children by. Now, polygamy is started, and God said, this is not what's to happen. One man, one woman. That's what he said in Genesis. But because of the hardness of men's hearts and because of the depravity of the flesh, men started taking more than one wife. And then their wives started giving them their servants. And it's never, ever worked out good. You cannot find any place in the Bible where it worked out good. The first instance you find of it when Sarah gave Hagar to have a child by. How'd that work out? He had to leave. Flesh and the spirit ain't going to live in the same house. They can't do it. The child of promise and the child of flesh can't live in the same house. And wherever you find polygamy, wherever you find two wives, you find trouble. And that's the way it is, and that's the way it's going to be, and the way it'll be until the end of time. God meant for us to have one at a time. And so look what happens here, back up in verse 30 and 31 of chapter 29. Let me show you this. And Laban gave to Rachel his daughter. Let's see, no, I'm in the wrong place. And he went also in unto Rachel. Genesis 29:30. He went also unto Rachel, and he loved Rachel. Now listen to this. More than Leah. And served with him yet 7 other years. And when the Lord saw that Leah, listen to this, was hated, she opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. Loved one, God said that she was hated. One was loved, one was hated. Now look down in verse 1 of chapter 30. And Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children. Now listen, here's another instance of this polygamy that don't work. Rachel envied her sister because she's done had 4 children, 4 sons, that for Jacob. And Rachel envied her sister, said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die. And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel, and he said, am I in God's stead who hath withheld thee from the fruit of the womb? And she said, behold my maid Bilhah, go in unto her, and she shall bear upon my knees, that I may so have children by her. So, okay, now I see, you see here now that polygamy is not good. Love, hated. One envies her sister, one can have children, one can't. One holds it against the other, one doesn't. But I want to look at the birth and the names given to Jacob's 12 sons by his different wives and by their handmaids. And all 12 of these sons are given names, and we're told why they were given these names. And these who ended up being the 12 tribes of Israel would be named after. And their names, I'm telling you, we'll see this, that their names is also the history of a soul's conversion. Every one of their names is a point in our conversion, in a soul's conversion. Every one of them has something to do, it speaks to us, of Christ and our salvation in Christ by every name that they have. Now, the first name we see is up here in verse 32. And Leah conceived and bare a son, Genesis 29:32. Leah conceived and bare a son. She called his name Reuben. And then down later says she also in verse 33, she bare a son and called his name Simon or Simeon. And she conceived again and said, now my husband's going to be joined to me, and therefore called his name Levi. That's the tribe where all the priests came from. And she conceived again in verse 35 and said, now I'm going to praise the Lord. So she called his name Judah. Judah. And then you go down through there and you find all their different sons' names. And I'm not going to read all of them to you, but I'm going to tell you what their names are. Now, Rachel only had two sons. She had Joseph and she had Benjamin. And those are the two that Jacob loved more than anybody else. Jacob and Joseph. Joseph and Benjamin. Remember that? And you know what Reuben's name means? You look there in the margin and it says, see a son. See a son. That's first what his name means. Reuben means see a son. And is this not what we're told in the gospel? John said, as man comes after me whose shoe latchet I'm not worthy to bear and unloose, who's mightier than I. He was before me. And he says, behold, look, there's the Lamb of God. And God himself said, this is my beloved Son. Hear him. And in John 6:40, I ain't preached from this in years and years, but it says this, this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which, what? Seeth the Son. See the Son? He that seeth the Son and believeth on him hath everlasting life. And that's what she said. See a son? And that's what God says to us. See the Son? The Son shall rise with healing in his wings. And you know what? We sing that old song, life in a look. Life in a look. Look, look, look. Life in a look. God said, look unto me. And be ye saved all the ends of the earth. I'm a just God and I'm a Savior. And it's when God looks on us and God sees us and then we turn around and we see the Son, and that's what we do. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And the first names, see the Son. That's where our salvation starts, seeing the Son. What's God's will? What's God's will? That everyone, which sees the Son and believes on Him, hath everlasting life. Uh-huh. And then Simeon was the second one. He was the second one. And you know what his name means? Hearing. We're told to see the Son. Well, then how in the world do we see the Son? He read it tonight. Said, our Lord said, I go away. And yet, you won't see me, and again in a little while you'll see me. And how did he mean that I'm going away? And then a little while you'll see me. We see him by faith. But here's the second thing, seeing the Son. But you know how in the world if we see the Son and how we come to know anything about the Son? By hearing. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And that's how we, the first one, see the Son. Second one's hearing. We receive the gospel by faith, by hearing. Hear and your soul shall live. Look what God said in Isaiah 53. This is what the Lord said in Isaiah 53. Simeon means hearing. Oh, God heard me. Well, God hears us when we cry. Christ hears us when we cry. In Isaiah 55:3, you know, I'll tell you what. We got to hear, and that's why it's so imperative. So imperative that we preach the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what God said in verse 3 of Isaiah 55. Now listen to this. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. And so we see the Son, we hear, we listen. And that's why we come, to hear the gospel, to listen. To listen, to hear what God has to say, to hear what He has to say about His Son. And you know how long faith would last if we didn't hear the gospel? And if we didn't see the Son, that's why we come here, to hear about Christ, to hear about who He is and what He done. James, Paul said it like this: how whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not believed and heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So then faith comes, and how does it come? It comes by hearing. And that's what He said. He said, oh, see the Son. I've got a Son. God said, see My Son? He told us before He ever come, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a Son. And you know what you're going to call Him? Jesus. Why? Because He shall save His people from their sin. And then, oh, listen, God heard me. And He brings us the gospel, and we hear. And then third son she had was called Levi. There in verse 34, he's called Levi. You know what Levi means? That means joined. That means joined. And I tell you what, after we see the Son, we hear the gospel, then we're joined to the Lord Jesus Christ. This tells us of our union with the Lord Jesus Christ, being joined to Him. What did Ephesians say? That we're bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. Our Lord said, I'm the vine, the true vine. You're the branches. And he that's joined to me, I'm the vine, and all the branches joined to me, they live by me. And we're joined to Christ, and we have our life from Christ. And I tell you what, not joined to Him, there's no life. We're so joined to Him that when Christ, everything He did, we did. When He lived in this world, we lived in Him. When He died in this world, we died in Him. When He was buried, we was buried in Him. When He was raised again, we were raised in Him. When He sat down in glory, we sat down with Him. That's how close we are joined to Him. He's the head, we're the body. He's the vine, we're the branches. And you know what He said? Without Me, you can't do nothing. You know what nothing is? That's nothing. Just a white sheet of paper. Ain't nothing on it. And that's what we are without Him. That's what we are. And then the fourth son she had was named Judah. You know what Judah means down there in verse 35? That's praise. After we see the Son, after we hear the gospel, he said, hear, incline your ear and listen to what I got to say. Then we're joined to the Lord, and then we begin to praise Him. Judah means praise. After seeing the Son of His love, after hearing the gospel and being joined to the Lord Jesus Christ, we bless Him and we praise Him. Blessed be the Lord. Praise be unto God. And we offer the sacrifice of praises in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what Paul said. He said, brethren, we're bound always to thank God for you, because He has from the beginning chosen you unto salvation that's in Christ Jesus. And He, by the Spirit of God, has joined you and sanctified you and joined you and called you to the Lord Jesus Christ, gave you life in Christ before the world ever began. And I tell you what, you're talking about reason to praise. There's nobody got greater reason to praise the Lord than I do. I don't know of anybody that God's blessed more than me in this world. I don't know. I've never yet met the person that God's blessed more than me in this world right here. And oh, we praise Him. We bless Him. We thank Him. And I tell you what, there's times when you think about Him and you're contemplating Him and you're considering Him and what He's done for you, and when you're sometimes by yourself, and when you do that, your heart melts inside you. And you get so full of joy and thankfulness that you feel like you're going to explode. You just feel like, oh, you're just going to explode. You just can't praise Him enough and thank Him. How many times have you sat on your porch? How many times have you looked out your window? How many times have you been in your car and you started thinking about all the things you see around you and the things that you're blessed to see, the things you're blessed to enjoy? And your heart just lifts up and say, Lord, thank You for what I can see right now. and what I enjoy right this minute. Huh? So I tell you what, we see the sun, we hear, we're joined to Christ, then we praise Him. And then look down here, and let's look at the next one. Let's see, where's it at? The next one is Dan, I believe. Yep, in verse 6, Dan. Oh my, Rachel's handmaid conceived and bore Dan. You know what Dan means? It means judging. Judging or judgment. Dan, he's the fifth son. Judgment. And I tell you what, God has passed judgment on us. And bless His name, He judged us in His blessed Son. That's where the judgment's already failed. We God says the soul of sin if it shall die. We got to die. God will not let us die, not let us live, and without judging us for our sin. The judge of all earth must do right. And He passed judgment on us, and He passed judgment on us in His Son. And I've told you this, and this is one of the most blessed points of the gospel that they are, to me, is that God's not let me or any of His children get by with one sin. He's judged every single one of them. They've been judged. And so God, being a just God, He cannot come and judge us for sins ever again. How did He judge for our sin? He judged His Son. And when He found sin on His Son, He crucified His Son. He hung His Son on a cross. And there is where sin was judged and sin was put away, and God cannot come and judge us ever again. That's why we're not afraid to face God in judgment. That's why we look forward to leaving this world. That's why we're not afraid to leave this world. You say, well, listen, you're going to fall in the hands of a just God. I already have. Already have. I've been fell into the hands of a just God. And you know what I come out of? Justified. Righteous. No sin. That's shouting ground, I'm telling you. That's shouting ground. And not only does God judge us, but He enables us to pass judgment upon ourselves. We pass judgment upon ourselves. What do you say about yourself? Nothing. What good you got to say for yourself? Nothing. We pass the sentence of death upon ourselves. The Lord says, that we judge ourselves so that we won't be judged with the world. We absolutely, absolutely judge ourselves. And you know what we say about ourselves? No good thing. That is, I know in me and in my flesh dwells no good thing. Well, I'm going to do something good this week. That's a lie you told. Don't do something good. I mean, for one another. But don't say you're going to do it for God, because that don't work. Oh, my. And there's another judgment we make. We judge, and God's told us, that we died unto sin once in our Savior. And then here's the next one, down here in verse 8. Had another child, and Rachel's with great wrestlings have I wrestled with my sister and have prevailed. And she called his name Naphtali. That means my wrestling. It's my wrestling. And you know, we don't have any wrestlings, no wrestlings, until after our conversion. We have no struggle, no wrestlings, no war going on in us until after we converted. And we're like Jacob and Esau in the womb. There's a great struggle in the womb. And in our flesh, there's a great struggle. And you never have a struggle until you're converted. One way you know you're converted is because you struggle with the flesh. You wrestle with the flesh. Oh, we have a great struggle between our old nature and our new nature. And I tell you, sometimes it gets pretty hairy sometimes. I don't know about you, but it gets pretty tough sometimes. You know, I tell you what, I know a couple of men who do not believe a believer has two natures. I know some preachers, some grace preachers, that do not believe that a believer has two natures. Now, if you don't have two natures, that means you got one nature. And that has to be the nature you was born with. And what kind of nature is that? That's a fallen nature. And I'm going to tell you something. Our old nature does never, ever, ever get any better. Never gets any better. No, no, no. That's why we don't preach progressive sanctification. That's why we don't tell you to start living holier, just get holier and holier and holier. Because it's a futile battle. The flesh, lust, wars against the Spirit. And the Spirit of Christ in us, wars against the flesh. And you cannot do the things that you would. Paul said, I see a war in my members. What members? My mind? My heart? My flesh? My spirit? With the flesh here, I serve the law, the principle of sin. But with my mind, my heart, I serve the righteousness of God. If I could take my mind and take it out and put in an absolute perfect spiritual mind, I'd do that. Would you like to take that brain out of there and take that heart out of there and put in one that's just perfect with no sin in it? And never think an evil thought, never think a vain thought, never show any pride, never show any self-righteousness. Wouldn't you like to do that? We'd all like to do it now, but we're going to have to wait till Christ makes us new. We're going to have to wait. But oh my, that's what we want. Oh, we want it so much. And that's why Paul says we groan earnestly. Groan earnestly to be clothed with that house not made with hands that's eternal in the heavens. Some of y'all remember living in some pretty, pretty rough houses when you grew up. People down here was poor and they had houses, you know. And when I first come down here, I went to eat some breakfast with some folks one time. We was eating rabbits and fried taters and eggs. And it's so cold in that house that when they put it on the plate, the lard in it turned white. You know, and the wind blow in them, you know, and where Mary's grandmother lived, I mean, is that old house, and the wind would blow through that thing, and the water bucket would be froze in the winter. Well, that's the kind of house we live in right now. An old sorry house. The water freezes every once in a while in the winter. His old hearts get cold and they freeze. The wind blows through it. And the fruit jars bust every once in a while. And the corn and beans bust every once in a while. Now, who in the world wouldn't want a better house to live in? Well, God's going to give us a better house to live in. All right, wrestle. And not only do we wrestle, but sometimes we wrestle in prayer. And then let me show you another one here in verse 9 or verse 11. And Leah said, a troop cometh, and she called his name Gad. This is the seventh son, Gad. And you know what she called him? He said, it's a troop. A troop or a company. She said, that's what she called him, a troop or a company. And ain't that what we're joined to? We're joined to a troop. We're in a company. We're joined to the company of God's people. We're joined together as a body of believers. We're joined to the Lord's people. We're members one of another. And oh my. And that's what he said. A troop's coming. A company's coming. And we're joined to a company. And I'm going to tell y'all, and I've said this and I mentioned it today. The two most things I enjoy in this world. The things that I enjoy more in this world than anything else. And I don't hope you don't think I'm being pious. But I enjoy the gospel and preparing for the gospel. I enjoy the gospel. I don't care who's preaching it. I don't care when it's been preached. I enjoy the gospel. Gotta have it. And the second thing that I enjoy more than anything else is being with the Lord's people. Just like we went out for lunch today, we'll sit and kill an hour just talking and visiting and enjoying one. I enjoy that more than any two things in this world. Hearing the gospel and being with the Lord's people. Whether I'm in their house sitting drinking a cup of coffee or wherever that's at, I enjoy that. Whether we're working with them or whatever, that's the most. You cannot get. They have these commercials that don't get no better than that. Well, it don't get no better than hearing the gospel and being fellowship with the Lord's people. It just don't get no better than that, does it? Don't for me. I love it. I just love it. And here's the eighth son, down in verse 13. And Leah said, happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed. And she called his name Asher. You know what that means in the margin? happy. Happy. That's what we are. We're happy people. We're joyful people. Delightful people. We just, the gospel makes us happy. The gospel in Christ makes us happy. Seeing Christ and praising the Lord. This is the effect of our fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the effect of a relationship with His people. The effects of the gospel. It causes us to be happy. That's why He said, happy, happy is the people who has the God of Jacob. Jacob, for their God. And I tell you what, Asher means happy. And I tell you what, I get happy sometimes. I hope I'm pretty much up a lot, but if I'm down, I hope nobody sees it and knows it but the Lord. And maybe surely. But, I like to keep my down things to myself, don't you? When I'm out in the world among people, I've got everything. When I'm alone with the Lord, I don't have nothing. But oh, the gospel makes us happy. The fellowship of the saint makes us happy. Our fellowship with Christ makes us a happy people. A happy people. And then here's the night sun. Here's the night sun. I don't even know where that one's at. Oh my, let's see. Well, anyway, his name is called Issachar. Issachar. Oh, it's down here in verse 17. And 18. Leah said, God hath given me my hire, because I have given my maid to my husband, and she called his name Issachar. That means for hire. That means a reward, a man for a reward. And this speaks of our service, our relationship with Christ, being obedient children. God gives us Christ. God gives us His blessed Son. Our Lord Jesus Christ gives us life. And because of that, we willingly become bond slaves. We do what our master said. Like I said this morning about those men, they went out and did just exactly what their master said. Our faith works, but how does it work? It works by love. Works by love. And so Issachar, reward. And oh my, Christ is our reward. And we're willing bond slaves. And our faith works. It works by love. Look down verse 20. Let me give you the 10th one. Verse 20. And Leah said, God hath endued me with a good dowry. Now will my husband dwell with me, because I have borne him 6 sons. And she called his name Zebulon. You know what Zebulon means? Dwelling. Dwelling. This is a dwelling. He's going to dwell with me now, because I've borne him 6 sons. Dwelling. You know where our dwelling place is? Christ. Our hiding place is in Christ. Our dwelling place is in Christ. Our Christ is our refuge. Christ is our dwelling place. And we abide in Him. We live in Him. We live by Him. And I tell you, not only that, but He said that He would come and take up His abode with us. We dwell in Him and He dwells in us. And that's why we're one with Him. And guess what? He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go not prepare a place, if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again. Because in my Father's house are many mansions. And in the margin it says dwelling places. And in my Father's house are many mansions, dwelling places. And beloved, God's got us a dwelling place. A dwelling place. Huh? And this place is in glory. Yesterday was Herman's birthday, April the 7th. Always had something special for him on his birthday. Now he passed, the Lord called him home last September the 2nd. But listen, he'd never have another birthday. He's not even 90 something up there. He's not even in his 90s. The scripture says a man of 100 years old shall be as an infant of days. Be 100 here and go up there. Be an infant of days. Oh, I ain't going to be gray-headed and old and wear glasses when I get there. I'm not going to be that way. You know why? Because I dwell in Christ and Christ in me, and He's prepared us a dwelling place. And oh my, Look down verse 24. This is Rachel's only, she had only two children from her own womb. And here in verse 24, look what it says. And she conceived and bare a son in verse 23 and said, God hath taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph and said, the Lord shall add to me another son. Joseph means adding. You know how you get in the church? We say we're going to church, but you know the church is people. And you know how you get in the church? God adds you to the church. He adds to the church every single day them who should be added. And I tell you, there's lots of people being added all over this world. May not be none being added right here, right now. But I tell you what, there will be some added here. I believe that with all my heart. I believe we got too many people here. We got too many young people. We got too many young folks. And I believe that God shall add them to His church. I believe that. And I tell you what, adds to the church. And I tell you something else that it says Joseph adds. You know what God adds? He adds all of Christ and His doing and His dying. He adds that to our account as if we done it ourselves. You're obedient? Put Christ's obedience to your account. Love? I'm going to put Christ's love to your account. Righteousness? I'm going to put Christ's love to your account. God adds everything that Christ is to our account. Huh? God don't add like we do it. Ain't you grateful that He doesn't? And then last of all, over here in chapter 35, let me show you this one. This is the last one. The Benjamin, the 12th son. He's the 12th son. Chapter 35 and verse 15 through 18. Let's look at this. Jacob is going home now. Going back where he come from, he's at Bethel. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spake unto him, Bethel. And they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to Ephrath. And Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass, she was in hard labor, that the midwife said unto her, fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, that is the son of my sorrow. But his father called him Benjamin, the son of my right hand. We started out seeing the son and end up right where we started, seeing the son. And now we rest and rejoice in the son of God's right hand, sitting at God's right hand where the Lord Jesus Christ is. He's the first and He's the last. Started out seeing the Son, hearing, joined to Him, dwelling in Him, company of the saints, praising Him. And now we end up where we started, looking to the Son of God. Sit here, my son, till I make ye enemies your footstool. After He by Himself purged our sins, He sat down. We're at on the right hand of the throne of God. You know what right hand means? First of all, it's the position of privilege. Privilege. Everybody don't get to be on the right hand. Secondly, it's the position of power and authority. God vested everything in that man at His right hand. Huh? Seeing the Son and end up seeing the Son, end up with looking to the Son of His right hand. Told you that's how souls converted. Seeing the Son and all the things that happened, and then you end up looking at the Son, sitting at the right hand of God. Oh, I tell you, names mean something, don't it? Y'all want to know what my name means? I'm not going to tell you. I'd be embarrassed. But I love you. We've had a good day, and I appreciate you very much. Our Father, in the precious, holy, glorious name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, how we bow our hearts before you to praise you. Oh, Lord, we do praise you. You're so gracious to us, so bless us so abundantly together. And, Lord, it's delightful. Oh, how delightful it is to come in the company of the saints of God. Oh, what a blessing. God bless and strengthen and encourage the dear saints here. Every home, every heart, those who are not with us through sickness, I pray your great blessings upon them. And Lord, as your people leave and leave tonight, see them safely home, see them safely to their jobs and safely home. Enable us to come and worship again. We ask these things in Christ our Lord's name. Amen. Amen.